of the United States of America,
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to observe a brief moment of silence for the roll call, please.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Ohilski?
Here.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Vice President Millage?
Here.
President Storm?
Here. Can we have the report out of closed session, please?
No reportable action.
Okay, thank you. Before we move on to our numerous public hearings here, I want to observe a separate moment of silence in memory of Michael Wright, who was on the board from 2011 until last December. He suffered a massive heart attack recently and passed away. I'm still pretty shocked. He's been a selfless community servant in Los Osos since for decades long, since before I lived here. When I first came on the board, he took me under his rather tall wings, and I was always a good sounding board. And since then, grown into be a good friend of his and his family. His granddaughter attends my wife's school. I guess in the end, I'm glad that I couldn't talk him into running for re-election, because I would hate for him to have spent his last few months continuing on here when he thought he had achieved what he needed to do. But the person I think on the board who's known him the longest is Marshall, and Marshall would like to say a few words. So if you would.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. If I start to tear up, I apologize. But I know, because I did at the Financial Advisory Committee when that came up. Yeah, I think that Mike, not only serving on the board, and I was one of the primary people that talked him into, I had to talk Barb, his wife, into letting him run. So he did serve on the board, but prior to that, he, for many, many years, he was on the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and he was very, very instrumental in getting funds to available to do the clearing for the fire breaks around the community. I mean, he was just selfless in doing that. He was really, really a hard worker and a very, very good personality. So, excuse me. But I think that not just what he did on the board, and as John Eric mentions, he did take people under his tall wing. We were about the same size, so I can relate to that. It wasn't a tall wing to me, but I think that all the work he did on the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and just for the emergency services for the community and the fire breaks and the fundings that he brought forward to the community, I just want to acknowledge and recognize him for that. I really appreciate his service, and I felt really bad when I found out about his heart attack and the situation about that. And my sympathies goes out to Barb and his family. Thank you.
Director Tornatsky?
He was a class guy. He was a smart guy, but he could always put a big arm around you that expressed how he felt about it and what we were doing. He was a great guy to work with. The 2.5 years I had to sort of have some connection with him, it was good. So these things happen to all of us.
Vice President Millage.
So his wings were very tall for me. And getting a hug from him was a surround experience. And I loved it. He was extremely supportive to me, very helpful when I was campaigning. And I will never forget his big grin He was laughing at me. And I miss him too.
I'll share a story that actually comes from a friend of mine in Mike's other life. He was an insurance salesman, and I have a good friend who had Mike as his agent for many years. And this good friend of mine, like people here sometimes do, would scrape by at times. And he said, you know, there was more than one year that I'd be down there on the day my policy was set to expire with every bit of cash that I could scrape up. And Mike just worked with me every time, counting the dollar bills, counting the quarters to make sure that I was taken care of. That's the kind of guy he was.
Thank you, everybody. So with that, let's just observe a moment of silence and tribute to Mike. All right. Aloha shalom. Please.
I apologize. I got wound up. But for those that are interested, the memorial service for Mike is at St. Timothy's at noon on Sunday. I believe, is it Sunday? Is it? Yeah, noon on Sunday at St. Timothy's in Morro Bay. So he was a very, very active participant in that church. So people, that's when the memorial service will be. So I wanted to point that out. I'm sorry I forgot the first time through. Thank you.
Okay, well, with that, we'll move on to public hearing to adopt resolutions submitting the following fiscal year, 2017-2018, special tax roll to San Luis Obispo County for collection. We're going to open these public hearings one at a time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then at the end we can have motions. Okay, so I will open a public hearing on Bay Ridge Estates annual service charge. Any speakers on Bay Ridge Estates annual service charge? Going once, going twice, closed. Moving on to Vista de Oro annual service charge. Opening the public hearing on that. Any public hearing or public speakers at the public hearing on the Vista de Oro annual service charge? Seeing none, I will close that public hearing. We'll open the public hearing on the drainage special tax. The drainage special tax. Any public testimony on drainage special tax? Seeing none, I will close that public hearing. I will open a public hearing on fire protection and prevention services special tax. Any public testimony on fire protection and prevention services special tax? Seeing none, I will close that. Number 5, wastewater district number 1 assessments. Any public testimony on wastewater district number 1 assessments?
Richard Margetson, I'm just going to renew my objection to the amount, not that you don't have the ability to collect it, but the amount of the administrative fee. And as the county assessor also believes, there's a gray area there. But it's kind of backed up by the letter from NBS that's in your packet. He refers to the $10.56 per parcel as an administrative fee. And then he talks about what their fees will be in the future. And if you take the parcel fee of $10.56 times the number of parcels, it's 4 or 5 times more than the amount of their administrative fee. And I think you know where I'm getting at is I still have a problem with the $25,000 repayment of the reserve fund coming from this administrative fee addition. I think at some point there needs to be an ad hoc committee, or I think we need to figure this out once and for all. I think it's inappropriate. I think there's numerous opinions on it. I don't think any one opinion is absolutely correct at this point, but I absolutely don't believe you can take that $25,000 from this total levy.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I'll support what Mr. Margetson just said, and then remind you that County Auditor Controller Jim Erb had some serious concerns over this, and I think Mr. Margetson's recommendation that you delve into this further with a committee would be apropos at this time.
Thank you. Any other further public testimony on wastewater district number one assessments? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on that. Back to the board for A12345, number seven.
No, I have a question. Can these be all voted on? They have to be voted on separately, don't they, because they're resolutions? I'm asking.
There would be no legal requirement. There would be a separate vote. The important, that sometimes it's easier to have a separate vote so it's clearer in the record as to who voted for what. But the one motion for all is also legally permissible.
Okay. Thank you.
On the bonds, what is the deadline for getting this on the tax roll? Of this month? Okay.
Well, let me. I have the same concerns about the fifth item that have been expressed, so I think that needs to be clarified. It's something we've been talking about literally for years at this point in time. So if we can, and I'll defer to you, John Eric, but if we can refer that question to the Financial Advisory Committee for resolution, then I'm prepared to make a motion. So.
Well, you include that in your motion, and then the board will have directed that to FAC.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and move that the board adopt resolutions. There's no resolution numbers on here, but adopt a resolution submitting to fiscal year 2017-2018 assessment and special tax rolls to San Luis Obispo County for collection as stated in the agenda, with the understanding that number five, the wastewater district assessment, will be provided, referred for resolution to the Financial Advisory Committee.
I'll second that. And actually, the resolution numbers are.
Yeah, I see them. Now that I said they weren't there, I saw them. So.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, we need roll call.
Director Lielski?
Yes.
Director Stefania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Vice President Millage?
Yes.
President Storm?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we're moving on to public hearing to adopt resolution submitting district past due water accounts as listed in General Manager's report of delinquent water charges in a, pardon me, approved collection in the fiscal year 2017-18 tax roll. Is there a report on this or no?
There is one.
I mean, do we want to, how many people do we have in here and so
there's
forth?
There's only one.
Only one. Okay.
There were two very large and one came in and paid the other day. So we just have one that's going forward.
Okay, with that, I'll open the public hearing on this item. Any public testimony on this item? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on this item. Any discussion from the board? Then the chair will entertain a motion.
My turn last.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2017-22 confirming the report of the district general manager for delinquent water collection charges and authorizing the collection of delinquent charges on the county tax roll.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Millage?
Yes.
President Storm?
Yes. Okay, moving right along. Public hearing to adopt the proposed fiscal year 2017-18 budget. This is a continuation of the public hearing from our last special meeting. Right? And so I'd appreciate an update on what's changed since then.
Okay, well, we presented this in front of the Finance Committee, and they gave us some changes to make to the budget. Regarding first allocations, administrative allocations, Finance Committee recommended Bay Ridge at 0.5, Vista de Oro at 0.5, fire at 10%, water at 85.5, drainage 2%, wastewater at 0.5, and parks at 1%. As far as Bay Ridge, during the Finance Committee meeting, the Bay Ridge loan was discussed. The amount of interest that was originally inputted into the accounting system was incorrect. Per the resolution, the interest should be West Coast Prime plus one. In 2015, the West Coast Prime was 3.5, so we're looking at 4.5. The annual loan amount should be $27,964, not $25,006. So that amount is reflected in the new budget. There will obviously be a negative balance at the end of the 2016-2017 budget. The Finance Committee felt that it would be okay to do a one-time loan to this fund with no interest charges, since it is a small amount, and they'll be able to, it's not something that should be able to, it should keep rolling over as far as the negative amount goes. As far as fire, the only change we've made there, well, we've made two changes. One is they had a about estimate $24,000 that they felt would roll over into the next year. At the Finance Committee, it was brought up that they're not allowed to roll that over. So whatever is left over after at the end of the 2016-2017 budget will go straight into the Vehicle Reserve Fund, whatever that amount happens to be. So we adjusted that budget as far as that expense goes. And the other item that's on there that's very obvious is the grant for $34,000 that they received from Firehouse Subs. Since we do have actuals in the budget and that money came in and we did cash that check, we had to put that under the revenue under the 2016-2017 budget. We had to show it, but it's not going to be spent in the 2016-2017 year. So that's why you do see it in the 2017-2018 budget. The other correction we're going to make is when we deposited it, we coded it as a donation, and we're going to change that and code it to grant because it was a grant. So those are the two major things that we corrected, fixed in under the fire budget. Under Vista de Oro, this fund will end in negative balance because of the 2015-2016 budget rollover that was not addressed in the 2016-2017 budget, and it's a good amount of money. Although the account ends in a negative balance, the Finance Committee felt that it was okay to temporarily loan the fund the amount, since it should be a one-time amount with no interest necessary. And it's also been brought up that through a couple of committees, actually, to make sure that the Vista loan was completely paid off. So this is something that we will be addressing with the auditors to make sure that they show that that fund was paid off, or that loan was paid off in that fund. Should have been paid off in 2015, it looks like. So I'll make sure that they take care of that. Underwater, the changes that we discussed during the Finance Committee had to do with moving the capital improvement reserve amount to the front of the budget under reserves. I had it at the back. Somebody pointed out that we should put it, that since it's a transfer in from reserves, that it should go in under revenue. So that's at the front of the budget. So if you notice a big change in the revenue amount coming in, now we're at $3 million. That's because of the amount of money we'll be pulling in from reserves to pay for the capital improvement projects. So that's $380,000. Transfer in. Oh, and you'll also notice it was also brought up that the Bay Ridge loan interest is income coming in, if that interest is coming in, and it should be going to water. So that amount, which is $2,964, a little small amount, it still is revenue that should be coming in and listed under the water revenue. As for wastewater, this fund ends in a negative balance because of the 2016-2017 budget didn't account for the NBS total of $18,750. The Finance Committee felt it was okay to allow this one-time loan to the fund, no interest as well. Same reasoning behind it, because next budget they should have enough money, so there isn't a problem there as long as we keep costs down. And we should be able to keep costs down. Drainage, this fund ends in a negative balance for 2016-2017. So that amount is in there as well. Drainage will need to do improvements at 8th Street during the 2017-2018 budget. These are also capital improvement costs, which adds to the fund negative balance. And the fund does have a positive balance from the 2015-2016 year, which we can pull from to pay for the improvements. And this fund will not need a loan from water or anything. They should be fine by themselves. There was no discussion as far as parks and recs. This fund has a positive balance, and we do our best to keep expenses down in this fund as we work on the dog park. So those were the changes we made during Finance Committee.
Okay, thank you. Director Ohilski, do you have anything to report from FAC while we're on this?
No, I think that Renee pretty much recapped. I was caught between the recapped or capitalized. So we had a pretty good discussion, I think, at the Finance Advisory Committee. There's obviously some issues that still need to be resolved, such as the Vista de Oro loan. And there's still some, for lack of a better term, formatting issues that need to be addressed, particularly on the last pages of each one of the accounts. But I think we're getting closer.
I have a question before any. I'll let you guys ask clarifying questions before I go to the public. But on, just for example, on drainage, we have a. It says net fund balance. That means you need a change in the fund balance is negative 84,888. But at the bottom, just to be clear, that the net fund balance projected over the year is 178,000 at the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't want the Finance Committee talked about not putting certain words at the end of all the balances. So we tried to keep it at projected fund balance. That was one of the requests. And the other request was the revenue over-under for the 2016-2017 year. That was another request, was that those particular terms to be used.
Okay. Any other clarifying questions from the board?
Yes. Administrative allocation, I think, from water that came out of all this was 85.5
mm-hmm.
back in March. We passed a resolution, I think we passed this, 2017-11, that talked about the allocation of property taxes and the reallocation of the administrative draw, and we mentioned 80% in that resolution. Do we have to go back and change that resolution, or would adopting the new budget resolution just automatically update that?
The latter. It would automatically update that.
Okay.
But that is a good question to bring up, though, because it was something that was brought up by Richard, was
right.
That although that percentage was very clear on what we were going to pass, what did, I hate to use the term, made it okay, was it's the amount that we're using. When they did their projection, and Richard could make sure to correct me if I'm wrong, but when they did their projections, they projected it on the water budget being a certain amount. So because we're not spending as much, I'm kind of falling.
The dollars are okay.
Dollars
I was just
okay.
wondering about the technical side. Do we need to pick up a resolution and correct it?
Okay.
If I could piggyback on that, one of the things that we did talk about is going back to that 80% in the next budgetary year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to, you were there, so, you know.
Any other clarifying questions from the board? Okay, thank you. With that, we'll open the public hearing on the budget resolution.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I hope you do not adopt tonight and that you continue to massage the document. There's some real problems with the narrative, and I think I haven't heard any of you talk about that, and you really should delve into it paragraph by paragraph. The idea that you are going to have these small temporary loans has me concerned in that who's loaning the money? What kind of terms are we talking about? What is temporary? Temporary is not really a term used in lending. So what is the duration and what are we talking about in the amount, with the amounts and how long? Moreover, I'm concerned for Vista and Bay Ridge in that you have specific language that was adopted when the 218s went forward there, one approved for Bay Ridge, one for Vista, and the language there never allowed you to lend them money. Why you were lending them money before was probably not good advice either. I went back and did some research on that, and that the administration fund was loaning them money. Of course, there is no administration fund, or there shouldn't have been. But that was 2015. 2016, you sent a letter that talked about to Vista and Bay Ridge and gave them specifics about when their payoff would be. So if you continue to loan them money, that changes the dates and amounts in which you are paid. They are paid off. I spoke briefly about the narrative. One of the things that jumps off the page for me for Parks and Recreation is that the fund is fairly new to the Los Osos CSD. Are you kidding me? We've had a Parks and Recreation fund for as long as we've had it, almost as long as we've had a district. We never spent it. We let it continue to accrue interest, but it was a sacred cow and we didn't touch it. I continue to object to drawing on it for administration. If you continue to read the budget, the money is draining out quite quickly due to the draw from administration. One line item that I wanted to touch on is in the administration budget. It's the rent for office and other structures. This office is $2,900 a month times 12 months is $34,800. And that's the budget for that in this line item is $33,179. If you never
Thank
rent
you.
The community center, you're still... Your own, your the number's
Thank you.
Wrong.
Well, we're here, probably adopting this tonight. There's still issues, but it's better than your last meeting that you held. I will say that. I have problems with the narratives. I'll just give you a couple examples. Page 2, I guess, of the staff report. It talks about the rate increase, the last paragraph. It said the rate increase dealing with the water rate increase will also allow for funds to be set aside in the rate stabilization, $32,000 a year, and water contingency reserve, $57,000 a year, for the next 3 years for future infrastructure improvements. Neither of those funds are set aside for future infrastructure projects. It's the capital, the gist of the rate increase, the $500,000 increase this year and the $700,000 and the $800,000 and the $900,000 the following year. That's for the infrastructure improvements. These other two funds have specific purposes. And then on page 1 of the, I guess it's the actual fiscal budget description, page 1 of 5, the narratives here. The last line of the page, dealing with the Bay Ridge loan. The loan payment has been determined to be $27,964 a year, Exhibit A. That's the amount this year. It won't be that amount next year. The interest charge will go down over time. Year five, it'll be almost nominal. You know, just things like that. When somebody's reading this, I mean, they're here and there all the way through the document still. I hate to say it, this is maybe as good as you're going to get at this point, but I still think Finance Committee needs to keep a serious eye on this as we proceed. And we could go back 2-3 more times to the committee, and I don't know that all the issues would ever be resolved. So formatting issues that Marshall talked about still, but you're getting there.
Thank you. Any other further public testimony on the public hearing on the budget? Okay, bring it back to the board. Well, on Vista, there is an issue about the paying down of this loan, right?
Vista or Bayridge?
Let's start with Vista.
Well, there's funds in the budget for Bayridge, but not Vista. So,
right, there's not funds in the budget.
And that was the question that Renee, we need to confirm whether or not that loan's been paid off or not.
So we're going to have to ask the auditors to dive in to see if it was paid off, because it should, per the resolution, it should have been paid off by now. So, as far as our paperwork is concerned, it is, but I wouldn't be comfortable until the auditors get in there and look throughout the system and make just to make sure.
Do we have the auditors?
Well, they'll look through all the adjustments that have been made and transfers, and they would be able to see if every year whoever was doing accounting was rolling that amount into, back into the proper place, if you will.
The only thing that complicates that is if we're talking about lending Vista de Oro money, then there's no existing loans, then I don't know. Don't we need to have a 218 to do that, for to get paid back on that?
Well, I'd have to take a look at the underlying documents to opine clearly. But just in general, to loan a money to a fund does not require a protest hearing or a protest vote, nor would it require a new hearing to use already set rates to pay that loan back. And in fact, if you approve the budget tonight, you have not approved a loan to those funds. What would have to happen is, and quite often this would happen at the end of a fiscal year, then you go back over and see what your actuals have been, because revenues will be slightly different. Always your staffs try and guess low on revenue. Not ridiculously low, but they try and guess low. So it could turn out that, in fact, between higher revenues and lower expenses, loans aren't necessary. To the extent they are necessary, you will take action at that time to make a loan and specify the terms. It would be permissible to, depending on what the source of the loan money is, to not have interest. I'll just give you an example. If you have general fund type money, which is your 1% property tax here in this community services district, if you have some of those funds available, those can be loaned or spent on any purpose. So you could certainly loan them and not collect interest back, but you also may loan them and collect the principal back, or even interest if you want to. It would all depend. A water fund, being an enterprise fund, you can make a loan from it, but you have to collect interest back, or you're having other people pay the water. So we'd have to come back to you, and you'd take action based on actual knowledge of exactly what amount, if any, has to be loaned and make a decision on repayment, if any. Just for example, if property taxes come in way higher than we anticipated and you've been able to do all the things you want to do and there's more money, you can spend property, that kind of money, on any function you have.
Okay.
And I would say that, since we're on, I'd say the same thing in terms of if you happen to approve the budget tonight and we don't know whether or not the Vista, the Oro loan has been paid, you haven't authorized a loan to that fund yet. That would have to come back, and hopefully we'd have all that accurate information at that point in time. You can make a decision then.
I mean, the way I've looked at it since the beginning this time is budgets, we're authorizing spending. And I'd like this, you know, I'm going to repeat myself again, but yeah, you know, and so the question I have is, what do we need to change to be happy on authorizing spending? And I'm not dismissing people's comments about the narrative. Certainly, that's a public document, and it needs to be done pridefully. But I'd hate to hold up authorizing needed. Well, I mean, we have a continuing resolution, but I hate to hold up the spending on that. And there's also a way that, I mean, we could still have FAC. I guess what they should be doing, in my opinion, is if there are things that need correction, we bring them back and correct them on an ongoing basis. Whether we pass the budget or not, I'd like to think that if there are needed changes to be made, we'd address them promptly. So I that's my initial thinking on that.
Well, mine is that a continuing resolution allows us to pay our bills and keep the doors open and do all the things we need to do. I would like to pass this when it's ready, and I'm not quite comfortable with the reserve statements in the outline in the utilities budget, the water budget. We've been through it a few times, and they're just things that I'm not comfortable with. Particularly, you see the actuals column has got all zeros, and yet the accounting adjusted for the end of the year has got money under the general, page 5 of the water budget.
Thank
I'm
you.
Not comfortable. And I think maybe one more meeting. I'm not quite, willing to say it's going to take two or three more, and I don't know if that's going to change anything. I think one more, and we can straighten out those reserve issues that are causing me some problems, because I want to make sure where that $380,000 toward the capital outlay is coming from. And then, they come in. It just comes in a new, updated format every time we see it, and it's getting better. But every time there's a change in format, I kind of lose track of this is where that number was, and
it's disorienting.
Can I weigh in on just? I mean, based on the changes that were made in the budget, the Financial Advisory Committee recommended that we adopt the budget, so I wanted to get that on the record.
And also, under reserves, under where the zeros are, we have not transferred, under actuals, we have not transferred over those funds yet, so I can't put anything there when I haven't moved anything over. So in the adjusted budget, compared to the adopted budget, we don't have $65,000 to transfer over into that fund, so into capital outlay reserves. But we were figuring there'd be about $8,000. So until we see what the end results are of the 2016 budget, I mean, I can't present you with actuals. That's why there's zeros there. There's nothing has been transferred over from the reserves over to, or nothing, no funds have been transferred over into reserves, and that's why there's zeros under actuals.
It had to have been some money in reserves when we started.
Yeah, but that's not what that is. The actuals is the line item of what we have done from when you passed the budget, whatever. I think you passed it in September last year. From September to the present, that's what the actuals, that's what that line means, is what was done, transferred in there, and nothing has been transferred in there from September to the present as far as that fund goes. That's not the actual fund.
I would still like one more shot at it in utilities, and if it means that we pass it in August, we're still a month ahead of last year.
Director Tarnotsky?
I think it's crude perfection, and I'd like to go with it. There's a lot of things that are still moving around, and we can fix them even if we go forward with this map.
Anybody else?
Are you ready for a motion?
Is there any other discussion? Do you have a motion?
I do. I have a motion. I move that we adopt the budget and refer it to the FAC for refinement.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Just clarification on refinement. I think the better word is updating rather than refinement.
Updating.
Do you accept that amendment? Okay.
I accept it. Yes.
Updating.
I accept it as well.
It's updating as we go through the budgetary year, not on a one-shot deal. That's all.
A dynamic budget process. Okay.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, roll call.
Vice President Milledge?
Yes.
Director Tarnotsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
No.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
President Storm?
Yes. Okay. That concludes our public hearings for today. Now we will go to public comment for items not on the agenda. This is your chance to comment on things that are not on the agenda.
Within
the purview of the district. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and that's exactly what I wanted to say, was members of the public may address the board relating to any item of interest within the board's jurisdiction, not on its agenda today. To stray from that policy may result in liability to the district. What is the district? I'm just going to refer quickly to this page because I'd like to see it updated when you move forward ever again on the budget. This is, historically, we don't use staffing as our organizational chart for the district. And I'd like to see you use an organizational chart that includes the public, the board, and then the staffing. So that would be my request in the future.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda?
Good evening. My name is Mary Lucy from Oceano. First of all, I want to applaud you in passing your budget. I know that it is really draining when you're working on an extremely limited amount of funds, and so I applaud you in your process. Last time I came to your board, I had brought you some documents, legal documents, concerning some of your committee members, and I'd like to point out to you the New Times today ran an article regarding those documents that I gave you regarding legal matters for some of your committee members. And so I'd like to point to you that the article is in the New Times today, and the State of California's Board of Real Estate will be hearing the case August 30th in Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda?
Lindy Owen, I guess I just would like to say that I'm glad that we have made some progress on the budget. It's taken a few blows here and there, and I hope that we continue working out all the little parts of it. And again, I think that you're supposed to be listening to things that are within your purview during public comment. So I don't understand, are we going to, I see that in our committee discussion, we're going to start asking people for all their personal information. It's a proposal. Is this now going to become that we have to go have a lie detector test and go through a lot of legal support in order to participate in government here? And are we, I mean, everybody is open to see what they want to know about the case that was just brought up. And I think that that's everybody's purview, but that is not why the person that's on the board resigned. And I think I've seen some much worse legal concerns from board members in the past. So we can only do so much to improve it, but I really do not like to hear that kind of comment that was just made. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. I'll just say, I hope the budget process doesn't get put on the back burner now that it's approved. There's still some issues of if there's surpluses, making sure the board allocates those to the proper reserves. There's other issues. I think you know which ones they are. I just wanted to make a comment about Mike Wright. Marshall brought up his service on Emergency Services Committee. When we were working on the transition of getting CAL FIRE into this community, Mike wasn't sold on the idea right away. He had to be convinced. But I think one of the things that convinced him is when he found out that the district didn't have a reserve account for vehicle replacement, and that bothered him. I think that may have turned him. Then he became an advocate when we went out for the second fire tax, and that passed resoundingly. He also supported the increased level of service. But the one thing I remember about him on the committee was he always push to make sure that the maximum allocation was set aside into the vehicle sinking fund, and that we continued to look at 4-0 staffing, and always was interested in the level of service document. It was something that he pushed for. I think he'd be real happy to finally hear that the administrative allocation for fire has kind of been resolved, and the reduction. It was something he asked for discussion at the committee and discussion when he was on the board repeatedly. So I just wanted, for those of you that didn't know that, Mike was a supporter back there, and I, as I've said many times, I think it's one of the best things this community's ever done was getting CAL FIRE in here and the improved level of service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy McNeil from Oceana. Also not on your agenda. And just to follow up on what we were talking about when we came here the last time. And that is, I think it's actually generally a county-wide issue about basically folks who try to interject into all these local government entities and bring forth their own agenda as opposed to your agenda. The particular folks who are talking about, it's been my observation that they travel from district to district. Anecdotally, the strategy seems to be to, first of all, attack the general manager, drive wedges between the manager and the board, drive wedges between different board members, create division and sides, and basically create chaos, and actually prohibit you from carrying on the business that you're here to do. I'm not trying to prohibit you from doing any of the business you're here to do. Just like I said, following up on what we talked about the last time we were here. The other common thread seems to be that these certain individuals file numerous requests under the Freedom of Information Act, thereby sending your staff into different frenzies and being overwhelmed with the amount of work you have to do already. In addition to that, now you have to look into all these requests, which my understanding is that it may sometimes incur legal fees, and the same people will then call for investigations and then turn around and complain about how much money these investigations cost. So just to sort of wrap that up from the last time we were here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Going once, going twice. Okay, moving on to administrative and committee reports. Fire department report, please.
Hello, board. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Greg Alex. I'm the battalion chief for Los Osos CSD in the North Coast. I also would like to give my condolences to Mike Wright. I worked with him for several years with all the fuel reduction projects that were all around here. Enjoyed working with him, and my sympathies to his family. The month of May report is what I'm here to present. Station 15 responded to 96 calls in May with 5 simultaneous calls. 4 of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support from our paramedics. Of the 96 calls, 68 were medical, 43 required advanced life support by the paramedics, 4 calls were for staging, 4 incidents were reported as traffic collisions, 6 incidents were reported as fires, and 15 public service assists, with 7 total of those being emergencies also. Company 15 was called to cover the station to respond a total of 13 times in the month of May. And the administration was busy with continuing with the budget process, attending the several meetings, working with General Manager Osborne, and providing accurate and valid information for a solid foundation for our next fiscal year's budget. In mid-May, we received the grant award from the Firehouse Subs, which will allow us to buy 2 sets of Hurst extrication tools. And that's later. It's also an agenda item. Station 15 welcomed me as a battalion chief in the month of May. I won't go into detail. We talked about that. No, I got cookies. Cookies were good. Yes. Okay, and then special projects and programs. On March 19th, engine 215 was taken out of service with a transmission problem. It's a vacuum valve. We've reported several times on this. It's still at the shop and reported to be hopefully done by the end of this week, and that's what we hope. In early May, we also sent out a press release about the Vile Life distribution campaigns. And the Vial Life, I want to say that they're super important for our paramedic and our first responders that come to the residents. They have a nice magnetic sticker that allows them to set right up in the front and keeps talking, pointing at something.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have them available to the public.
Yes. So they're here at the board, also at the fire station, weekdays, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We will give those out. So you fill out the information about your medications and your personal information, and that helps the paramedics speed up their process to give the life support treatments that are necessary. May 10th, at around 11 p.m., a highlight of May was the fire that happened on Sage Avenue. It was just outside of your district. You assisted with your water department in increasing the pressure, as well as almost a quarter-mile hose lay that had to happen to get across there to get that taken care of. As a follow-up, that was taken to county code enforcement, and they'll be bringing that business back to what it was initially set for as a nursery rather than a high-load door manufacturing facility. On May 29th, we also attended the annual Memorial Day service. A couple notes that I have outside of that, since the outside of the May report. Weed abatement and the lot inspections are still going on, and we are looking. We've had inspectors out. We're getting ready for our second inspection, so we encourage those people that have received notices to get those lots cleared up. and we'll be out within the month to do reinspections. Rescue 15 was involved in a vehicle accident. And it's on Los Osos Valley Road, and I just wanted you to be aware of that. The investigation, current actions on CAL FIRE's part, as we're doing an internal investigation, documentation, CHP is the actual report writer. We notified the general manager. Medic Rescue 15 is currently at Los Osos Auto Body and out of service, and we're running with the utility and engine 215. We've been in contact with the insurance company this week and hope to get that resolved as soon as possible. That's my report. Any questions?
Where did you say the location of that accident was?
So it's on Los Osos Valley Road, and I'm not exactly sure where the impact occurred.
Okay.
But is that a different one that was on Ramona?
Yeah, Ramona, right in front of Morrill Shores. Paramedic vehicle that someone pulled out in front of?
There's only been one. So
okay. Yeah. Tie rod get broken?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Roger.
Yeah, that was on Ramona.
Oh, it was on Ramona.
Yeah, because I was in the backyard about 200 feet away.
Very good. So nobody was injured. That's, I think, what the highlight there is. And,
yes.
And the vehicle damage will probably take us about 2 weeks to get it back into service.
It was the first-hand experience of back-to-back calls, because when the fire truck rolled through, they just slowed down enough to make sure the paramedics were okay, people in the car okay, and they kept going to the original call.
That's correct.
And then the ambulance did the same thing.
That's correct also. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sheriff's Department report.
Good evening, Commander Jim Vogue from Coast Station. During this last month, first of all, I want to apologize for not making last month. We usually always have somebody here, but we had tip a cop, and we were kind of had a lot of deputies, a lot of them on their own time helping out for the Special Olympics, so I couldn't make that one. But we usually always have somebody here. Calls for service. During the last month, we had 310. The vast majority, actually two different types. One was for suspicious vehicles, subjects, circumstances, criminal acts. That means a lot of people are calling. Luckily, I always look to see if we have incident reports next to them, and a lot of times we didn't, which means there probably wasn't a crime, but a lot of times they stop crimes from occurring by giving us a call and getting us out there. So we still wholeheartedly encourage that. Disturbing the peace, we have 51 calls of disturbing the peace, so it's not getting that hot. I don't know why people are getting irritable a little bit with each other, but it seems to be a spike in disturbing the peace calls. Phone scams, we only had two, one IRS and one that you have to worry about when they tell you that you've inherited a lot of money from some property that some distant relative left you, and all you need to do is pay the taxes. And if you send me a check for $1,900 or transfer these funds, we can get you that money. So luckily, neither one of these parties fell for that and reported that. Not a lot of repressible crimes. We had seven vandalisms. Some notable incidents. On 610, the 1900 block of Mountain View, a car window was shattered. Didn't appear that anybody made entry. And we tried to figure out why did they do that. Was it just a mere act of vandalism? Then we looked on the car seat itself, and there were two bags that looked like purses. They weren't purses, but just to remember, if you have any valuables or you have anything that looks like a purse, don't have that in plain view. Something I'm always preaching about is locking your cars and your houses and your garages. We have a lot of thefts from unlocked garages. A lot of people will secure their homes, but there's always a door to a garage they leave open. A lot of tools are stolen. Lawn equipment is very commonly stolen. So that was on the 1400 block of 11th Street and on the 500 block of Highland Drive, where tools were taken from unlocked garages. On the 15th of June in the 1800 block of 8th Street, we had deputies recovered firearms, ammunition, and other property taken from a storage unit burglary that occurred near the end of May. The suspect in the case was subsequently arrested, and additional property was found on his person. A lot of units were burglarized on that, and we don't have all the property, but we got a good share of the property stolen, particularly the firearms, which was very, very important to us. 616, Santa Isabella and Pasadena. There's this place, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called the Monkey Tree. I don't know why. I didn't see any monkeys flying around in that tree, but I found out where it was. Sexual Assault in Progress, a serious call came out. We responded to it, and it turned out to be a 13-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl doing what teenagers do. A sibling of the girl observed their romantic overtures and told her father. Father came over. The girl got scared, ran away. She was a missing girl then. At that point, the boy was detained, and we finally found the girl and found out that she wasn't being attacked. So that had a good ending to it. 622, 2100 block of Mountain View, another South Bay mini storage was broken into. This time they used an empty storage unit and bored through the wall into a occupied storage unit and took some property out of there. 627, the Los Osos schoolhouse was burglarized. Unfortunately for the 14-year-olds that were doing the burglary, they were filming it, and that film finally got on the internet, and they're being identified probably as we speak, so just to let you know. And last but not least, and I really am very proud of this one because I'm getting up there in age, and I was up all night, which is a terrible thing for a guy my age, but 2900 block of Clark Valley Road, we had a 69-year-old man missing. He had some mental and physical disabilities. He left home at about 2 p.m., did not return. It was getting dark. And up on Clark Valley Road, I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's a long way up there. And we're very concerned. He was supposed to be allegedly walking into town. So I searched everywhere that night. Had a lot of time to do it. We called out our search and rescue. We called out our posse. We called out our dogs. We did a reverse 911 for the area, which was beneficial. We had a lot of people involved in it, and my hat's really off to our search and rescue people. They're really great. They went out there, and I was up all night, and I didn't find them. And they started out, then they had to stop. There's a lot of brush around here, and then they went, got a couple hours sleep, came back at a 7 a.m. search, and continued the search and found him at a little bit before noon. And he had, what a lot of people do, particularly people that are suffering from dementia, they start going the wrong way, they get into brush, and then they fall. And when they fall, they go down quite a ways. It's hard to find them. And these hikers, we're able to find them. They do a great job. As I said, it's a systematic search. And he was in an area where we had to actually airlift him with the helicopter and get him to an ambulance and then take him to Sierra Vista. But he's recovered from the situation and he survived. So other than that, any questions at all?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Madam General Manager, can you give the Utilities and General Manager report, please?
The utility report was presented by Frank Ascension, our Utilities Crew Leader, and Liz Radowski, our Administrative Accounting Assistant. The total production for the month of May 2017 was approximately 16.32 million gallons. This equates to an average daily demand of 526,742 gallons. This represents an increase in production from last year by approximately 9.23%. Using the state's formula to calculate residential usage per capita per day for the month of May, our residential customers used 59.4 gallons per person per day. The following tables break down by well site. I'm not going to go and do all that because that's a lot of numbers. Water billing information, 57% of the service area received bills for approximately 15.1 million gallons consumption for the period of April 10th through June 13th. This generated approximately $193,625 in revenue. During the month of May, our utilities department crew provided weekly water sampling, read water meters, marked underground utilities, did equipment maintenance, and submitted the monthly report to the state. In addition to these duties, the crew began weed abatement at all the Los Osos CSD properties to comply with the fire department standards. They repaired and a water service line at 1255 14th Street and continued the valve exercise program, performed annual parts and equipment inventory, and began groundskeeping at the Bay Ridge Drainage Basin. And as you can tell, we had no rain since April. And I don't know if you have any questions that you would like me to give to our water crew guys. So let's continue. So general manager's report. Staff and the auditor have been contributing to the preparation of the 2017-2018 proposed budget, and that was under attached under item 7C. Staff has been working with the IRS on some past due forms and paperwork regarding the 2015 tax year. Staff is still working with Rabobank to delete all the district debit cards and issue credit cards to key staff members, as well as amending the district's expenditure control guidelines to include the use of credit cards for approval of the amendments at the August 3rd meeting. With the absence of the utility supervisor, all staff has been assisting with this position's workload. This position has been posted, and interviews will be scheduled in July. Staff continues to work on multiple public records requests. Water and drainage, attached as agenda item 11G, is engineer's selection of design engineer for phase two of the 8th Street well project. The assessments and tax rolls for Bay Ridge Estates, Vista de Oro drainage, and wastewater are under agenda item 7B, which were already approved. Fire, staff has been assisting fire with their 2017-2018 budget, and the fire tax assessment was also approved under agenda item 7B. Parks and Recreation, staff has been in contact with the county on the lease for the dog park, and the lease is still in progress. We've reached out to Rabobank again regarding the service charges, and we've still not heard from their treasury department back to me as of this date of the report, and we still haven't. And we've actually discussed this with some of the finance committee members, and we're gonna discuss this further and see how we can get some clearer guidance from Rabobank as far as our service charges go, then perhaps how we're going to address this issue in the future. And that is all.
Any questions?
Are there any questions?
Okay, thank you. LOCAC.
Lynette Tornotsky, I'm the LOCAC secretary. Our chairperson and vice chairperson were unavailable to give the report tonight, so I will. We had our sheriff's report already. We did not have a highway patrol report again. County staff report, this one I will fill out because it's important. Carrie Brown, the county senior planner, says staff is busy with the draft environmental impact report for the community plan, which should be ready this summer. They are revising the habitat conservation plan and environmental assessment document. After they release the environmental impact report, next they will release the habitat conservation plan. There will be meetings held on the community plan, both to describe it and to get community input. After revisions, the community plan will go to the Planning Commission in February or March, and expect two or three meetings at the Planning Commission. And once those revisions are incorporated, they will send the document to the Board of Supervisors. Once they've adopted the plan, it goes to the California Coastal Commission, and all of the above meetings are open to the public. Supervisor Gibson was not available this month. Lou Tornotsky gave the LOCSD report. Steve Vinson gave the chamber report, and he's here tonight, so I won't mention that. We had three items on the consent agenda. One was for construction maintenance of road infrastructure to put a water main in. One was a minor use permit on a vacation rental. And the third one was SoCal Gas wanting to put three poles for their advanced meter communication devices And those all passed with not much comment. They were pretty routine. The one item that got quite a bit of discussion was a minor use permit for a temporary contractor staging area at 1230 Los Olivos Avenue, and we had quite a long discussion on that one. But in the end, LOCAC approved that this project should go ahead. Then we had a report from a former LOCAC board member, Mimi Calland, who talked about the Santa Isabel Islands group, and she gave a short presentation and history of the islands on Santa Isabel. Every two or three years, she asks County Public Works Deputy Director Dave Flynn that this group would like to see a completion of the pathway from 11th Street to South Bay Boulevard to finish the project. And Mr. Flynn said they needed to work through LOCAC to prioritize this, and then Public Works will figure out how to get a grant to actually do the project. So we agreed that we needed to move ahead with this, and LOCAC will send a letter to Public Works. There were committee reports from Traffic and Circulation and Land Use, and we had quite a lengthy discussion and presentation by Linda Quisenberry of the Los Osos Community Coalition. The group has been around for 1 year now, and she was updating LOCAC on what they had done to help homelessness and poverty here and in Morro Bay. There's about 6,000 people, and they are the working poor. And the meetings go by monthly to discuss what can be done to help people. There's a resource center that opened in January at Sunnyside School. It's open Monday through Friday from 1 o'clock to 5 p.m. They have computers, and they will help people fill out applications that are online for things that they might need. They have quite a long list of resources, which is updated every 2 months. And people can find a lot of help on those resource lists. The biggest issue that she said is transportation. They have trouble getting people that need to get to a doctor's appointment or something like that. They haven't been able to find a way to really solve the problem of getting a person from point A to point B. Our next meeting will be on July 27, 2017. Do you have any questions?
No, thank you. Okay, Chamber of Commerce.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. I want to start out by saying how sorry we are at the Chamber about the passing of Michael Wright. Mike was a good friend of the Chamber, and he and his family are in our thoughts and prayers. I put this at the top because we've been looking for a volunteer for some time to help us out Thursdays. It's only 3 hours. Volunteers help out at the front desk at the visitor center by getting help getting tourists the information they need, answering the telephone, and so on. So if you know anyone who might be interested, who wants to help the community a little bit, it's pretty light duty, just give us a call at the Chamber and let us know. So we have a ribbon cutting coming up July 15 at a new company, Lyrics and Melodies Studio Grand. Lyrics and Melodies Studio. It's right around the corner here at 950 Los Osos Valley Road. So they're having an open house. I think it's from 2 to 5. We're going to do a ribbon cutting at 2:30, and that's on July 15. They're a studio that provides private piano and voice lessons and group music lessons for all ages. And I think they're going to be getting involved with with the elementary school. Kids can come by after after school and get lessons and so forth. The Chamber is going to be holding a travel presentation to learn about the upcoming fully escorted tour of the awe-inspiring region of Tuscany. Some of our tour stops include Florence, Pisa, Siena, and Chianti region. It's truly an amazing opportunity to discover all that Tuscany has to offer. The trip departs October 24th. So the travel presentation is going to be Thursday, July 27 at 12 p.m., and it's going to be held at the South Bay Community Center. You can go to the Chamber website, or I think we just put something in nextdoor.com in the events part, the events section. On Wednesday, July 23rd, the Los Osos Chamber and Bay Osos Rotary will hold an ice cream mixer right across the street, right down the street at the Chamber's Visitor Center. It's going to be at 5:30. There will also be a Chamber mixer on Wednesday, September 13, at the Los Osos Valley Memorial Park. And lastly, coming up in the not-too-distant future is Oktoberfest. The 39th annual Oktoberfest and 12th annual car show will be again held on 2nd Street in Baywood Park. And so I'm going to be on October 29. It's always the last Sunday of October. Admission is free. Since 1977, the festival has grown from a small group of vendors and musicians to a popular countywide event that attracts over 6,000 participants. For the entire day, Los Osos Baywood Park will be bustling with pomp and ceremony and enthusiasm from the revelers eager to enjoy the day of live music and entertainment. There'll be a beer garden, food, pet costume. There's a race hosted by Morro Bay High School. And so that is, again, on October 29th. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Cesena, Utilities Advisory Committee.
Well, we've been spending our time on budget. One thing I'd like to point out, you notice on our consent calendar, we have a contract for the 8th Street Upper Aquifer well, design of the facility to put that into production. So that's a big step forward. Drainage has some big expenditures coming up next year to take care of some problems at 8th Street, but we're budgeted for that, and other than that, nothing really new.
Okay. Director Ohilski, Finance Advisory Committee, anything new?
Well, we talked about the budget, but the committee did recommend approval of the warrants and the finance reports, which are on the consent agenda.
Okay, thank you. Director's announcement of district and community interest and reports in attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody?
Been a slow month for me.
Oh, summertime. We have no written previously asked questions. Are there any items to be pulled? Okay. Public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and consent agenda.
Lindy Owen, and I wanted to talk first on the 59 gallon per day average usage that seems to be coming forward. I can see us slipping back up to higher numbers. I just wanted to say my household's down to, I think, 15 gallons per day per person, and we still smell good. anyway, I wanted to also talk about, I appreciate Lynette's LOCAC presentation, and I completely missed it, but I think that something that we should all be speaking of as a community is the vacation rental discussion. They're coming about once every month or two. We're getting a number of vacation rental requests. And if people really want to think about it a little deeper, it is taking away housing from Los Osos and possibly affordable housing, in that even people that could pay for the the shortage of housing that we have now, even if you could pay for it, a vacation rental will bring in more money for the property owner. So as much as everybody wants to defend property rights, I don't really see where we're going to help with our housing situation if we don't have a serious discussion about vacation rentals and what to do about them. And we've had, LOCAC has done a good job in the past talking about it, but perhaps it's time to bring it back up and revisit the legalities of limiting it a bit. I wanted to say, I mean, I appreciate that Mimi Callan has worked so hard on the island dividers on Santa Isabel, but LOCAC also sent a letter to the county. The little section from Palisade Lights to the library is just this teeny little path, and it has been requested for a year and a half, I believe, to Supervisor Gibson to just try to get that leveled out, put some crushed granite on it so people have a safe walkway instead of walking down the middle of the street. And so, again, I would appreciate if they want to look at that and throw that in with the discussion, because LOCAC has sent a letter, we have done everything we can, and they did go out and cut the weeds. That was nice, but it's not getting us any closer to having walkability in that area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and starting with the utility report, I wondered if Jason is back and wanted to comment on the fact that it's obvious that Margaret is not here, and we know that she's not coming back. But at your last regular meeting, June 1st, your general manager advised your board that the advertisement to replace Margaret was going to go out the following week. I received that advertisement, and it went out 3 weeks later. So I don't know what the holdup is, but clearly even just this report is lacking that expertise that Margaret provided, or someone like Margaret could provide. The fire chief brought up the Sage fire, and the last time the Emergency Services Committee met, that subject came up because it was real fresh. The fire had just happened. Emergency Services at that time talked about how we should expand water service into that neighborhood. And so I would recommend that in the Basin Management Committee meeting, you start talking about delivery to those areas of the community that are not served by community water. I understand that lots and lots of hose was run over South Bay Boulevard to get to that fire. And if there was a distribution line in the neighborhood with hydrants, perhaps the damage wouldn't have been as bad. Your general manager's report about the dog park, I saw some communication with the county about the dog park lease, off-leash dog park lease, and it seems to be moving slower than a moral shoulder bend dune snail. And with the report that Ms. Tornatsky just gave about the community plan and the habitat conservation plan and the ultimate approval by the Coastal Commission, we are talking years, years away before there's a dog park. And what my concern is that you continue to draw monies away for administration from the park fund, and you still will not have a park. I asked, and I will continue to ask, that it's a time and materials only to that fund, and if your legal's working on it, then you bill just that. Your warrant packet, I am somewhat confused as to why NBS had to send out late notices. It seems like something we could do in-house. There's over $1,000 for them to do that. And I mentioned in closed session something with the accountant, and I hope you take that into consideration when you're approving his warrant.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, the utilities report, they used to have charts in there with consumption by month compared to the previous 3-4 years in revenue. They're not in there anymore. I think that's I think it's easy to continue doing that, and I think it's very valuable to the committees, to the public, and to staff to have that right there. I know that was something Margaret took pride in providing every month, and I hope that comes back. There was no emergency services committee report. That disappoints me because I believe the committee should have met about the budget, the final budget. I'm hoping this isn't a trend. I've talked to our new chief, and I think he believes the committees serve a purpose. The committee will serve a purpose. And I just want to go back. Phil Vanaris was here for 11, 12 years, whatever. It was very inconvenient for him to be at those meetings based on his schedule and for Harmony to be here. But Phil found the committee as valuable as anything the district provided him. He wanted to hear the public input. He wanted to know what their view was on things, the 4-0 staffing, those type of things, the committee and the public. Phil had a special relationship with the committee and the public in this community, and I think we're all the better for it. And for those that weren't on the board at that time, I think Chuck could probably remember this, maybe Marshall too. There were a couple years early on in the process after the special fire tax, the second special fire tax was passed, that the committee and Cal Fire, Phil, didn't recommend taking the entire CPI increase. A portion of it 1 year, I think 1 year we didn't take it. Very frugal. Yes, no one could have anticipated the increases in minimum wage, which have had a huge impact on the budget the last couple of years, the Schedule A. But my point, I guess, is Emergency Services Committee needs to be meeting, and they need to be meeting on a regular basis. There are things that need to be looked at, and the process needs to get started about what we're going to do about 4-0 staffing. These were things that have been on your agenda for a long period of time. I'm going to keep making the comment until it happens. And then my last question, and this may go a couple seconds over, John, I just have one thing. The property tax rolls are going to the Board of Supervisors on the 18th for approval to be put on the property tax rolls, the rates and charges. When you get your bill, check. See if you can figure out the calculation to see if you're being charged properly based on your either December, January, or January, February water bill. The ordinance says how that calculation is because they've encountered some mistakes from the past years. There's one in town that's it's not necessarily all the county's fault, but there's one huge mistake in this community that's going to have a big impact on those that were affected by their bill being reduced. So, check.
Thank you. Any other further public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda? Okay. Back to the board.
I'm sorry, I forgot this was my job. I'll go ahead and move to approve the items on the consent agenda and receive and file the committee reports.
You have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Okay, do we need a roll call? Okay.
It's always good.
Sure.
What?
Kicks and giggles.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Vice President Millage?
Yes.
President Storm?
Yes. Okay. Moving along to general action items.
Discussion regarding potential bylaws changes to require certain disclosures from advisory committee applicants and members. So to give some context for this, back when then-President Ohilski and I did the latest round of bylaws amendments, one of the things we looked at was having subject matter qualifications for members on the committee, and we just kind of, nothing really seemed to work, and so we didn't come up with anything on that. We couldn't really come up with a list of, who would be a financial expert, and then there was also the question that we would have discussed in the board if we would have had a proposal at all, would have been, is that really what we want to do? Second, at the same time, we adopted bylaws amendment changes that made it so that our elected directors appointed a member to each committee on their own, who served at will on their basis. And then, it came to our attention, we have, a couple of committee members who had a couple situations going on, and at the time we got that information, there's rumors, but my gosh, if I believed every rumor about every person I knew, you can't do that. So the question is a couple things. Do we want to have a threshold, especially on the finance committee, for what's going on maybe in the lives of people on the committees, number one? And number two, with respect to, I think this applies to committee members, I'm not sure, but it certainly applies to directors. And I know there's slightly different rules for directors and committee appointees. There's different gift rules and so forth and so on. But being in arm's length transactions with, or parties to arm's length transactions with the district is also something maybe we need. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's in the government code that we need some kind of education on. So the point of this was to have discussion about what, if any, changes we wanted to make to the rules about committee members to prevent any kind of black eye to the district. So if you have any clarifying questions before I open up for public comment, I mean, it's just a discussion. There's nothing really I'm putting forward at this point. All right. Then I'll open for public comment.
Yeah. Yes. Linda Owen again. I was pretty upset when I heard that, and I was a backup on a committee, the Utilities Committee, which I've been on and off and attended for, 8 years. But, of course, when that came, that decision to let board members choose who was on their committee came about, I began to sense that I was not going to be on the committee, which worked out just fine for whoever it was that replaced me. And so what we're doing, what I see is a progression towards more of just self-management from each one of you five being able to decide who you bring on board. So I mean, like I said at the last finance committee, you were missing like three people from the committee. I've been to these committees, and oft times there's a lot of people that don't make it to the meetings. There's people that drop off. I've been to LOCAC and watched it diminish down to just a handful of members. You're asking the community to come in and give their time to get educated, and I will agree some people, but the general choice between all five of you is preferable to letting each one of you pick your friends or your preferred person to come on. So I prefer that you keep it as a five-member decision, and I think looking into people's backgrounds, this is a small town. We pretty much know what most people's backgrounds are. You had a general manager that you didn't even bother to look into her background, and she took us to the cleaners for 3 years. So, let's not get, like I say, I don't want to be seeing people having to take lie detector tests and go to that extreme. I think you need to bring back the community into the process, and that is difficult in this town, but I don't think that this is going to help it one bit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Best. I really didn't understand what the change was meant to do, but it really did rub me raw. I did a lot of work when I was on the Parks and Recreation Committee, and I worked pretty hard, and I thought there were some things that were done pretty underhandedly. And I applied to be on that committee, and I sat here, and I was the only one that had applied to be on any one of these committees. And you guys went through the whole process of choosing it, and there was, for the applicants and the number of people that were applied and the number of people that were picked for the committees, there were more people that, I'm sorry how to say this, but there were more seats than there were applicants. And I sat here while everybody chose, and I was just appalled that my name kept coming up, and I kept getting slipped over. I felt like I was being blacklisted. I didn't understand what was going on. And I worked hard. I was dedicated to doing what I needed to do for this town. And you change the rules. For what reason? I don't know. But people want to work for a committee. They submit their credentials to be on that committee, and you should choose those people according to their credentials, not because they are friends of that director. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lena Tornotsky. I think it would be helpful at some point if we went over what's already in the bylaws, because I'm not sure where to find that online, and I only recall that absences would be a way to take a person off a committee. So I'm not sure what can be done ahead of time. People would just lie on applications. It discourages applicants. The pool of applicants is already pretty small. And I guess where I would like to address this would be what happened one time where a committee member was very abusive during a committee meeting, and the attorney for the district at the time wrote this person a letter asking him, sort of telling him he needs to apologize to the committee for the behavior, and nothing happened. The person just didn't apologize, and they stayed on the committee. So I was wondering if we don't have anything in our bylaws that says, okay, one time you're given a pass if you will make a formal apology, and maybe it needs to be language to say that the attorney would be writing this person a letter delineating that they need to make a public apology at the committee. And then maybe we need to have a rule that would say the second time there's an outburst, the person is off the committee, period. And there wouldn't be any quibbling, there wouldn't be any bad feelings, because it would all be outlined up front as to what behavior was expected. And if the person that blew off steam the second time, they would know, and everybody would know, that that person would be off the committee. So that's all I can think of to change what we already have, and I'm still not sure exactly what we do have, so thanks.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and your bylaws are specific in that the board can remove a committee member or a board member can remove their own committee member. I think this is a slippery slope, and I caution you. I seem to recall when a board member used an inappropriate gesture at a committee meeting at a committee member who happened to be a firefighter. Do you disclose that? Are we supposed to disclose those bouts of passion, whatever that is? It was wrong, and apologies were all around. The idea that a committee member needs to be anything more than what you are is kind of ridiculous. What it takes to be a board member, a registered voter in the district. Those are the only criteria. The willingness to serve is the highest regard for anyone's volunteer time, even yours on the board. So I think this discussion should be very narrow and really quickly over. I liked the way it used to be when you all chose together from your pool of applicants. I liked when you had an alternate so that you had more contributions, you've had more interest, and you gave that person, when it was their time to cast a vote, a feeling like they've done something to help your district. Remember that these are only advisory committees. You can take their advice or not. And now you have this minority report. Take that person's advice or not. I'll just finish by saying the President of the United States has a very narrow qualification also. He has to be 35, he has to live in the U.S., he has to be a citizen. We have some pretty serious issues that our current president has had. Some bankruptcies, some tax issues, lots of lawsuits. What makes him or you as board members any different than the willingness to serve of a committee member in an advisory position?
Richard Margetson, my only concern here is that we don't get to a position where we're not encouraging people to apply. I've said this before, and this isn't a slap at the current Utilities Committee because I think they're qualified, but a few years ago we had the most qualified Utilities Committee in the county. I mean, the resumes on that committee were just incredible. And some of them aren't with us anymore. That's a shame. But there's a pool of intellect in this community that I don't want to discourage by making it tougher. The 3 hours did your rate study, but there's equally qualified people that could have worked on that rate study in this community. I just don't want them to be afraid to come forward because of, an in-depth application process to be a volunteer. I know you have other issues to discuss about this, but the committees in this community, especially in this community, if you go down the list of things that the committees have had input on that have been positive for this community, I think they've been valuable, and I think they continue to need to be valuable. So just keep that in mind.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Well, I would just follow up by saying in the lists we've received of qualifications, there was a glaring omission. And that is the difference between us five, is that the community gets to decide whether we're here or not. If they don't like us, If they don't like what we did in the fall of 2014, then 6 weeks later, they get to tell me to take a hike. And they didn't. In fact, that's not at all what happened. So the verdict of the public on us as elected directors is, in fact, different than those whom we appoint. And in fact, I don't think I'm going to change my mind about democratic legitimacy tonight. And so whatever you may think about the president, he too was elected. It's not just that he was 35. It's not just that he was a citizen of a state. It's that for whatever reason, in a majority of electors' states, they voted for him. And that's the system we have. Similarly, Director Susana Tornatsky and I were elected in 2014, and Director Ohilski and Vice President Millage were elected this last November, and some other people weren't. And as a result, the community has said that we're their representatives. They have not said that about committee members, and I think there's a little bit more to reasons why people may or may not want to serve on committees than what's on the application. My impression of the first committee meeting I attended as an FAC meeting was stunned at the lack of decorum and just the mean-spiritedness of some of the participants. And I was asked by one of the staff afterwards if I was ever coming back because I just looked like, oh. I said, well, yeah, I'm not going to give up on this. So the point, for those who missed it, the point back in January of changing the bylaws was, for better or for worse, whether you disagree with it or not, whether you ran a tough campaign against one of the other directors here, the five of us are the ones the community picked. And you can make all kinds of diverging arguments about, you know, oh, how many people vote or whatever, but that's who gets put here. Now, on the committees, by having each director appoint someone, just as they do at the Board of Supervisors or any other number of local government agencies, if that person appoints somebody the community doesn't like, they have one person to hold accountable for that in the election. If they don't like that, you know, I appointed Andrea Luker to Parks and Rec or Mike Wright to the Fire Committee, you know, because of his karma, or because, you know, they don't like who I appointed to the Utilities Advisory Committee, then they don't have to vote for me. And if it's somebody who's really bad in the state of California, they can recall me. I don't think there's a recall procedure for board, for committee members. And so we have on our in our bylaws, we have the ability for a director to remove them, or in my case, one of my appointees has passed away, so I have somebody to replace, and so forth and so on. So it's a really clear chain of responsibility. This isn't, you know, this is a democratically elected board, provides a chain of responsibility, and that's what we voted to do. I am not here to tell you that that's the only way to do it, or that, you know, one is more right than the other, but this is the one we chose to go with. Now, having said that, I don't know that that's necessarily an argument for me against raising the barriers to entry, since there already appear to be quite a few barriers to entry. So maybe we leave it the way it is and just say, you know, we're responsible for the people that individually that we put on there. We don't have to change the application. If you want to appoint whoever you want to appoint, as long as you own it, then I guess that's okay. Now, there is the question of regardless of what people have going on in their lives, there is a question of conduct at the meetings. You know, but I think we're equipped to address that now. But the media questions and the things that have been addressed to me in the last few months have been serious, and I say, well, you know, you got to wait and see what happens. But my gosh, this district is handicapped from the beginning. We have to do everything twice as good as everybody else to get half the recognition.
They think everything we do is screwed up. Everybody chuckles, oh, you're Los Osos CSD, so, you know, we got to work twice as hard. And so when we have problems with credibility, it just makes our lives tougher. We'll still have to get things done. So anyway, that's my thought.
I think a member of a committee. I think a member of a committee has a different responsibility than someone who is the chair of the committee. Because a member of the committee ought to have some substantive knowledge about what the committee's business is all about. People do get elected. People like Trump get elected. Don't know anything. But if you want to get decisions out of the National Science Foundation or the National Institutes of Health, you get people to fly into Washington. They have a PhD and 47,000 publications. They have knowledge, and they make decisions about how we spend our money or the steps we take. That's an analogy of what we're trying to do to get to where we want to get in the future.
So my thinking is that the committees don't have equal requirements. When I came up with my person to appoint to the Finance Committee, it never occurred to me to appoint someone who didn't have a bona fide financial background and certificates to back it up. Because that's the kind of person I want on the Finance Committee, is somebody who knows a lot about finance and more than I do about finance, for sure. For the Utilities Committee, we have at least two people I know who have utilities background. I think that's good. I don't actually know about the backgrounds of the other folks on that committee. For the Emergency Services Committee, hard to be a subject matter expert if you actually aren't a firefighter. There aren't any particular criteria that I can think of at this moment other than being a bright person interested in the community. And I think that particularly for finance, that a sentence or two about some sort of financial background and personal financial credibility, shall I say, is absolutely necessary for people on the Finance Committee.
Any other thoughts?
Quite a few. That discussion rambled everywhere from decorum at meetings to qualifications. I don't even want to touch decorum, but I'm going to because I've seen more problems, as many from either side of the table. The only thing that I noticed different about committee appointments that changed with our last bylaw change is that the person who actually appointed someone can now by themselves remove them from a committee. Other than that, we had applications submitted. We took turns appointing someone from that list. That was no different than what we did before. And if you got to be first on the appointment list, you got to look like the star because you probably took the one everybody else was going to appoint. If you were fifth when it came to appointing, your choices were more limited. I think we have enough trouble recruiting people to serve on committees. I think that we're making an issue out of nothing in that we can't predict, we can't anticipate. All you can do is look at the qualifications that are submitted at the time and make a decision. If something comes up in the future, then we have to be prepared to deal with it, just as we have this time. And I guess I thought I dealt with my committee appointees in the appropriate way. I thought it was handled. And I'm not sure why there was a need to try and refine the requirements to be on a committee. Now, if we want to talk about process, how we appoint and remove and all that, that's another issue. But I think it worked the way it was intended to work this time. And we had the other option, I guess, of all the board members voting to remove people if we had a particular committee member who, or a director who didn't want or was reluctant to do what the board thought was best. We've got that option, too. So I'm not sure what changes need to be made. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to parrot something Chuck said. I mean, the item on the agenda says discussion about disclosures, and I'm against that. So I think that, you know, if we're doing the process we're doing now, as Vicki said, and she's appointing, it's up to her to take responsibility for who she appoints. So I don't think any additional disclosures are required. I think that, as you said, John Eric, you got elected. If people don't like what you're doing, they can not reelect you or recall you. So I think it's incumbent upon the individual director to decide who he or she wants to appoint and what credentials they need to have. Now, I get to ramble for one thing. I think that it's incumbent upon the board to consider appointment of alternates, because I think with the attendance factors that we have, I think that I'd like to see us look at potentially going back to the two alternates, which could be appointed by the board at large. But I really think that the alternates are something we need to address. But anyways, as far as additional disclosures, I think it's incumbent upon each director to do that on their own. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think we'll leave it alone, and then maybe next time we'll bring back something to work on, and maybe the idea of alternates.
I have a couple more comments. I do think it's appropriate that when something comes to the attention of one of us that we think is of interest to the other board members, we should share, and I appreciate that. That's the way it should happen. The integrity of the district is the most important thing here, and so I do appreciate that. Maybe because I have been through a little bit more than any of the rest of you, my skin is thicker. And so what I hear from media doesn't faze me maybe so much as it should, or maybe I've just learned to disregard them. Thank you.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Future agenda items. Okay. Closing board comments.
Yep. Just wanted to make a quick announcement. Next Wednesday, July 12th, from 10 until 12 at this very location, Earworm is going to be meeting, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's the water purvey, or pardon me, that's the county's water. I didn't want to go into the initials, but they're going to have a discussion out here, and they're doing it countywide about water. Yes, here. Next Wednesday, 10 to 12, here. But anyway, so those of you who are interested in water issues, that's your opportunity to sit down with the county people and have a discussion with that. So 10 to 12.
It's on the website and Facebook. And
how about the interested
town? Good. Any other closing board comments?
Let's not forget Mike Wright's ceremony Saturday.
Yeah. Memorial service Sunday.
Memorial service
noon
at Sunday.
St. Tim's.
Noon at St. Tim's. Thank you.
Thank you for mentioning that. Well, we still have some refinements to do the budget. I'll be looking forward to hear Finance Advisory Committee's report on that. I'll be speaking with Sherry about that. And thanks for everybody's input and work on this agenda. And do you have anything, Vice President? That meeting adjourned.